The main message which I want to deliver is when you're thinking about cloud, don't think about IT or cloud for infrastructure. Think about solving the business problems, about the digital and data and AI transformation when you are moving to the cloud. This is where the ROI is. So focus on cloud for value, not on cloud for infrastructure.
That's Maxim Afanasyev, Financial Services Industry Lead at Google Cloud, who brings a novel perspective on cloud transformation beyond infrastructure.
Maxim unravels the concept of cloud for value, a transformative approach prioritizing digital, data, and AI advancements over traditional IT solutions, and its pivotal role in reshaping financial services.
We'll dive deep into the critical shifts in technology that redefine how financial institutions operate, highlighting the significant impacts on customer service, operational efficiency, and regulatory compliance.
From explaining cloud transformation to discussing generative AI's emerging role, Maxim shares insightful examples, including a successful case study like HSBC anti-money laundering initiatives, all powered by AI. Stay tuned as we explore how financial services can leverage cloud innovation for value, all while ensuring regulatory adherence with Maxim.
Maxim, one of our focus topics today will be cloud transformation in financial services. And I know this is a term that probably in our bubble at the intersection of tech and business, everybody knows what this is about, but a lot of our listeners might not. So could you explain cloud transformation to your grandma?
Yeah. Cloud transformation is actually about leveraging technology for banks and insurance companies so that they can reimagine the way how they are servicing their stakeholders, whether the clients or regulators.
And what's the role of cloud in that?
Real processing those unstructured data in real time, you wouldn't be able to get before moving to the cloud as a bank.
One term that you mentioned about this was cloud for value, particularly in solving business problems. Could you elaborate what this means in the context of financial institutions?
For Google Cloud in particular, we often come as a cloud for innovation, as a cloud for value, for reimagining how you will be operating tomorrow so that you are real time, you are solving the business problems, can handle unstructured data. This is what is the cloud for value. It's also translating to how the whole engagement with the clients unfolds. If you take back in 15 years ago, when the cloud for infrastructure was dominating the discussions, it was a purely IT discussion about what kind of mainframe you are having and how to lift and shift it to the cloud. Today, it's very different. 80-90% of my time is spent with the business stakeholders to discuss their business problems and how specific solutions help them to address those problems, how we need to adjust to tweak them. And also then already IT comes in to help to drive the implementation of those solutions.
The evolution of cloud computing has transformed the way banks and fintechs operate. Beginning in the early 2000s, the market witnessed a surge in cloud-based services. Initially, they primarily offered storage and computational solutions, leading to greater efficiency and fostering collaboration across global markets. Today, the capabilities of cloud technology have expanded. The cloud now empowers financial institutions with advanced data analytics, artificial intelligence, and the tools necessary for profound business process transformation and innovation. This evolution has not only enhanced operational capabilities, but also leveled the playing field. Startups now access the same sophisticated resources as their established institutions, fostering a new era of innovation in the financial services sector. The cloud has become indispensable, not just as technology, but as a catalyst for redefining the financial landscape. I imagine there's also quite a bit of a change for a tech sales professional, because if you've been experienced in the industry, usually talking to tech people in your role, that's quite a shift, isn't it?
It is. I can share an example from my previous life. Before joining Google Cloud a year and a half ago, I was leading data and AI globally at Standard Chartered Bank, one of the major banks here in the region. Our bank was exploring one of the other cloud providers who were focusing on cloud for infrastructure. And guess what? None of them have ever spoken with any of the business stakeholders, including myself. I was on the business side. They were always speaking with IT, but we were speaking different languages. Well, for me, it was all about how I can use data and AI to drive more revenue, how I can submit reporting in real time with full traceability, how each number was calculated. This was the problem statement which I was working on. And this is how illustrate how the cloud for infrastructure is different from cloud for value. Because today, when I'm speaking with business stakeholders, all our discussions are around what are the AI use cases which needs to be created holistically to improve customer experience, to better understand the customer needs, to grow the customer ecosystem and drive the penetration into the customers with the new products. And those products need to be available for the customers.
I really like the situation you just mentioned when you were back at Standard Chartered, because that basically it entails that in order to enable cloud for value, there also needs to happen some change on the bank side, doesn't it?
Exactly.
So cloud is not anymore just a tech topic, but business needs to get involved into these discussions as well.
This is the only way where we are seeing the success and value creation from the adoption of the cloud.
Yeah, how do you get them to sit on the table if they maybe they are used to being the business side of things? They used to not get involved with tech as well. So how do you actually catch them to take part in these discussions?
The most recent big example is anti-money laundering solution, which we have released together with HSBC. As you know, most of the banks, they use rule-based systems for anti-money laundering. And it has several issues. The most important one is the fact that the bad guys, whether sanctioned countries or the drug dealers who want to wash the money, or just simply people from the not good business who want to change the origin of their money, they actually know those rules. All the banks use pretty much the same rules. And as a consequence, they're able to circumvent those rules relatively easily. So rule-based systems for anti-money laundering is a problem. But why do banks are using those rule-based systems? Well, the main thing is explainability. The regulator want you as a bank to be able to explain how you are fighting the money laundering. What are the approaches for transaction monitoring you are taking? And rules are easy to explain. AI is more complicated to explain. Together with HSBC, we were able to explain to the regulator how AI systems for transaction monitoring, which we co-developed with HSBC, do operate. And the regulator became so comfortable with those rules that HSBC has decommissioned its rule-based systems and started relying primarily on AML-AI system. And this created a massive business impact. For instance, the number of false positives were down by 60%, while the number of true positive, which is the real additional use case which were not identified in the past, went up between 2x to 4x, depending on what the metrics you use. This is just an example of the solutions which we are targeting. To reach this, we have been working from the very beginning with the business stakeholders, because you really need to understand how anti-money laundering works. What are different transactions which happen for money laundering? So how currently the banks are fighting those money laundering, whether it's dormant accounts, mule accounts, etc., etc. So it requires a lot of subject matter expertise on the business side.
Traditionally, banks and financial institutions such as HSBC and Maxim's example rely on rule-based systems. As an example, in a rule-based system, there is usually a rigid set of criteria or conditions used to evaluate whether a financial transaction complies with set regulations or potentially possesses a risk. For example, in anti-money laundering, or also called AML operations, a rule-based system then might flag these transactions exceeding a certain amount, transactions to specific geographical locations known for high-risk activities, or repeated transactions that appear to be structured to avoid regulatory thresholds. I think some of us might have experienced when their credit card is not working outside their home country. So these approaches then can also lead to significant false positives. In the era of cloud computing, rule-based systems are becoming a thing of the past as financial institutions shift to leveraging more sophisticated AI algorithms, for instance, more real-time and also more nuanced decision-making.
So that really does sound like a lot of opportunity for banks to obtain. But obviously, whenever there's opportunity, there's also risk, right? And I remember when I started my career at BCG like 5 years ago, we were really investigating with banks if the cloud is even possible for them, if they can be regulatory compliant by moving to the cloud. I know we are a bit further now, very gladly. But still, I assume that you also do get some concerns when talking to banks about cloud adoption. Maybe you could share some of the conversations you're having around that. Like, what are the main risks that your clients see or the main concerns they have, and how do you actually mitigate that?
I would split your question into two parts. The first one is concerns from the regulatory perspective, from like security and governance. And the other are concerns from the business impact, from the ROI. So from the security and governance, the banks are at a different stage of their cloud adoption. So we have some of the major banks who are already fully on GCP, with their data, including PI data, already on GCP. Well, there are some banks which are relatively early in their cloud journey. For those banks who are early in their cloud journey, it's about building their comfort in using the cloud. From the regulation perspective, at least across these 30 markets which I am responsible for, regulators either already very forward-looking in terms of how banks can use the cloud, or have made a significant progress over the past 1 year. The good example is regulators in Taiwan. They have significantly improved their regulations so that the banks there can move to the cloud starting last year. But it's a lot about the banks themselves to become comfortable with moving to the cloud, to make sure that they have all the policies in place. The banks don't want to take risks until they can control it. So what we have been advising, working with those banks, is actually move in step by step. For instance, I have several banks who are early in the adoption of the cloud, but they want to do still some AI data analytics use cases. So, and we started use cases which are focusing on the external data. One of the use cases is actually leveraging GenAI to analyze news about their corporate clients to spot new business opportunities or credit risk events. In this situation, you don't need to move sensitive data to the cloud. So you are primarily relying on news external data, which are already available to everyone. And with this use cases, which are low risk kind of use cases, you can start building step by step your comfort with the cloud, and as well as developing your policies around moving more sensitive data into the cloud.
Despite the rapid expansion of cloud adoption across industries, banks and financial institutions are moving at a more measured pace due to unique challenges such as data security, regulatory compliance, and legacy system complexities. The financial sector's migration remains both cautious as well as strategic. Cloud service providers are evolving their services to meet specific needs of the financial services industry, developing bespoke solutions and incorporating compliant controls. This is critical as financial services balance innovation with stringent regulatory requirements. The shift is not purely about cost savings, but centers around achieving greater productivity, flexibility, and ultimately enhancing customer experiences. For a deeper understanding of the cloud adoption journey specific to financial institutions, we'll link to a BCG article in our show notes. Financial institutions need to pursue their own path to the cloud. You previously mentioned the role the regulator plays in the whole context of cloud transformation. I know you're based in Singapore, right? And at least from a European perspective, Singapore is often looked at like that digital pioneer when it comes to digital government. Could you maybe elaborate on that a bit more and tell us how, also from your first-hand experience, how Singapore is actually fostering innovation through a digital-first regulatory approach?
We are on a regular discussions with MIS, which is Monetary Authority of Singapore, literally the body for regulating all financial services industry here. One thing which really makes this regulator stand out is ability to engage for knowledge sharing discussions with vendors, especially the international vendors who can bring the view what is happening across the world, how the technology can be leveraged to make things better. Second, this regulator is also very intelligent. So often these discussions which we have, I'm on regular calls with MIS on, for example, how to adopt GenAI across banks here in a responsible manner. The question which regulator is asking really, really well thought. And third, this regulator is not afraid to act and experiment. So if from those discussions, the regulator and us are seeing, okay, this is something which can really be implemented. It's something which is already mature enough to start bringing to the industry. The regulator provides all full support for doing so.
So they really are a trailblazer in a lot of ways, aren't they?
Yes, exactly.
And you previously mentioned the Singaporean government as well. And I've heard you as GCP, as Google Cloud, you're also working quite closely with the Singaporean government, aren't you? So could you share some of the initiatives that you are working on with them to actually drive innovation in the country and in the industry?
The two engagements which I can publicly share right now is, one is related to sustainability. We are working a lot with MIS on this front, to how to leverage technology to better drive across the banks understanding about the ESG footprint from their customers, for instance. That's number one. The second one is around adopting GenAI and overall AI technologies by the banks and insurance companies. For a bank to adopt GenAI, it needs to answer a lot of questions, starting from, for example, how do I test that this model is ready to be put into productions? Do I put this model into the production, or I need to have the human in the loop before I put it? What kind of typical use cases which I need to start with comfortably when I'm experimenting with GenAI? This type of questions we are working with MIS to address. Obviously, ranging to way bigger impact, such as what is the skill set which is needed for banks given adoption of GenAI use cases.
Reminds me a bit of the whole discussion around the EU AI Act that we're having in Europe, where we're also actively placing regulation around AI and especially GenAI.
The EU AI Act represents a pioneering effort to strike a delicate balance of strict regulation, risk and compliance, and the encouragement of tech adoption and innovation. For a deep dive into this development, check out our episode featuring Kristen Roll from BCG. In her previous role as a senior digital policy advisor, Kristen was deeply involved in shaping the EU AI Act. Similarly, Singapore is heralded as a digital trailblazer. The Monetary Authority of Singapore's digital first approach is an example of a collaborative environment where both regulation and tech advancement go hand in hand. The strategies of the EU and Singapore differ in the execution, but they both highlight a global trend towards the responsible and ethical use of AI. A balanced strategy is important. Financial institutions and regulatory bodies worldwide are navigating the fine line between safeguarding ethical standards and fostering tech ambitions at the same time.
I'd like to get your view on how you envision the long-term impact of cloud-driven digital transformation on the banking sector? Where do you think we're heading?
It will unfold across three dimensions, in my opinion. The first one is revenue and client experience. So as the banks adopt the cloud, they will be able to better service their customers. And we're seeing this happening in Australia, for example, with Macquarie Bank. So this is number one, new business use cases and new sources of revenue for the banks. Second use case, second dimension is better operational efficiency. With the solutions such as we have Document AI, where you as a bank, you are able to immediately get the document, understand what it is about, whether it's fraud document or not fraud document. It really helps you to do your operations in real time and way cheaper. Our Will's call center AI solution, where simply by the timbre of the voice, when the customer speaks with an operator, the system is able to understand whether the customer is happy or upset and help the operator to drive the discussion. So this day-to-day operations will become way more efficient. So that's number two, efficiency. And number three is regulatory compliance. So with the solutions which we have on the cloud, we're able to significantly improve fight against money laundering. We're able to significantly improve fighting against fraud, such as scam fraud. This is the three dimensions where the digitalization adoption of the cloud will change the banks. The first one is revenue and day-to-day customer experience. Like just simply leveraging the way better data to understand this, the customers. Second is operational efficiency, because you can use modern tools to drive your operations. And the third one is a completely different dynamics, how you engage with the regulators, where you become the partner with the regulators.
Looking at the role of emerging technologies here, we've previously spoken about generative AI. Not even sure if you can call it emerging anymore, since it's becoming quite heavily used already. But what would you say are the main emerging technologies that are currently influencing the financial services landscape, and what are the challenges that they bring with them?
Gen AI is definitely on the agenda of all the banks today. But unlike 1 year ago, when it was, okay, we want to experiment with Gen AI, what is that? Today, it's all becoming about the business use cases. What are the business use cases which we can solve with Gen AI? And it's also, funny enough, it's also expanded to AI overall. The positive things with Gen AI that it's actually transitioned AI discussion, which often has been happening by IT, into the rooms full of the business stakeholders.
I'd like to ask you if there's any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to convey to our audience.
The main message which I want to deliver is when you're thinking about cloud, don't think about IT or cloud for infrastructure. Think about solving the business problems, about the digital and data and AI transformation when you are moving to the cloud. This is where the ROI is. So focus on cloud for value, not on cloud for infrastructure.
Great closing words. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. It was a privilege to share with you some thoughts and observations of what we're seeing in the market.
Very exciting. Thank you so much.
So let's dive into the conversation and share some key takeaways. From my experience, I think one of the key challenges towards cloud transformation often lie within the organizations we're consulting. But what's your perspective here, Noor?
Yeah, for me, it's quite funny, but also in a way rewarding to see where we stand right now with the cloud, where it's actually become not a matter of if, but merely how you move to the cloud. When I compare this to a client situation, I was working about 4 years ago. And Annika, you know this client very well because that's one of the projects that we sort of did together. I remember we started this project as part of a target architecture definition, where we would design a target architecture for a new system that would be custom built.
Ah, this was during my time at the project.
Yeah, exactly. And then you could have just taken that target picture and started implementing it in the cloud, but it was a different environment back then. So the client was very hesitant whenever we spoke about cloud, if you remember. So it was more like, public cloud, are you kidding us? We can't do that. We're a bank. So that was quite hard to actually get to a point where they are right now.
Yeah, I imagine the discussions we had over there. And I had a similar one. It was also for European insurance, where before we actually started the cloud transformation office, we had a quite tough time doing an analysis of the potential role changes. Because obviously, when you move to the cloud, especially within the IT departments, several roles shift their focus. So for instance, the server administrator doesn't then need to focus on service anymore because he's rather focusing on the cloud services. And this was also like a huge discussion we had, so that we first needed to ensure that here we are not like cutting down on IT roles within the different departments and rather like have a progressive change management approach here and making sure all the upskilling measurements we suggest are actually considered before we even start with the actual migration to just not lose any jobs here.
Absolutely.
And another example that came to my mind, when we start with some IT strategies here in the Middle East, we're just lacking good examples of fintechs or banks doing this. So here, as long as we're not having those lighthouse projects, which are now in implementation, so we know there will be coming a few, but we're not yet having a first cloud-first bank or cloud-first core banking system here in the Middle East. So looking forward to some examples which we can use for references.
I remember nobody wants to be the first mover, but whenever you have a critical mass, then even the laggards come crawling out of their caves and be like, ah, okay. So we see cloud is actually a thing. So can you support us how we can make that happen for us? I do remember that at that client, it was a German bank back then. We actually spent quite a few months on a feasibility study back then. And we had to, back then still, like handpick examples of other banks in Europe, but also specifically Germany, who had already moved something to the cloud. And we would even bargain about first workloads, first servers that they had moved to the cloud, not even core banking systems.
Similar also from like both the technological and from a regulatory point of view, because someone needs to be the first mover when discussing with the regulator. And once it's like a standard process, it's easier for the others to follow. And at the same time, we now see all the cloud providers popping up here in the Middle East, but we need some good examples on how they have been successfully used and set up, both for the regulator and then also for the customers.
Actually, to end that also with quite a success story, that client that I was talking about, I've just recently seen an article with them and the respective cloud provider where they share exactly this project as a big success story and how they have become an actual innovator with the cloud. So turns out the feasibility study recommended the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I imagine like further use cases like Maxime already mentioned are of course then in the anti-money laundering space, also really towards real-time fraud detection. I think that's something that has not been even thought of 20 or 30 years ago. And now with cloud, it's super easy to just process these vast amounts of data quickly, identify the patterns, and then you have your fraud signal here.
Yeah. Imagine earlier when you wanted to build something new, you'd first have to order some servers and they had to be shipped or whatever. And you had to set them up, like how much time it took before you could actually start building and how cloud has actually changed that.
Yeah, I agree. On the overall innovation potential of cloud, it's really cool to see what, for instance, banking as a service now offers, which is usually fully enabled by cloud here. So for instance, when you have, I don't know, a retail company, they can just offer a branded bank, maybe accounts or loans, powered by a traditional bank, and that's then integrated via banking as a service platform. And I think here, this approach significantly expands the overall reach of financial services and then also enables them to introduce new business models just backed up by cloud technology. This has been FinTech Files, a podcast from BCG Platinian.
This season, we'll dive deep into the groundbreaking ideas shaping the future of fintech. And we want to hear from you, our listeners. What topics would you like us to cover? And who are your dream guests?
drop us a line anytime at fintech-podcast@bcgplatinian.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you so much for listening.